The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Lots of things to get to, but we will start with last night.
And that'll do it. Tennessee Volunteers have won 18 in a row at home, and our final score tonight, 106-87, a convincing, crushing victory against Arkansas.
If you would have told me that the Razorbacks were going to get beat by 20 points last night, I probably wouldn't have been shocked. Because anytime you go on the road, it's a difficult thing to do. Anytime you play a team like Tennessee that's just been wrecking opponents, good opponents, left and right, and even in the SEC in their first four games, their combined margin of victory is over 100 points. Only two other teams in college basketball history has done that in the SEC and college basketball in general. But the Razorbacks just really weren't even in this game. In fact, if you would look at the final score, and if you actually watch the game, you'd probably see that it was closer in the final score than what the game really was.
Absolutely.
Arkansas was down by 30 at one point. Tennessee could not miss. They could, you could tell that there was just one team that was much better than the other. All around. More talent, more depth, more everything. And if you're just looking at from the shooting perspective, because 106 points is a lot of points to be scored on an Arkansas team. In fact, it's the most, I believe, they've had scored on them in an SEC game since 2002, when Alabama scored close to that mark. But if you look at just overall the percentages, and especially for Tennessee, for the game, they shot 52%. From three-point land, they shot 61%. And from the free throw line, where they shot 39 free throws, they shot 89%. Want to hear another crazy stat? And it makes sense. Arkansas lost by over 20 points, or about 20 points. They made two more field goals, Arkansas did, than Tennessee. Think about that. Arkansas made two more field goals than Tennessee and lost by 20 points.
Mm. How's that? I mean, you wonder, how does that work? But here's how it works.
Yeah.
Tennessee was 30 of 57, 52%. Arkansas 32 of 67. 67%, or 47%, not bad from the floor.
No.
Not bad.
10 of 26 from three-point land ain't bad. I mean, it's not great, but it's not bad. But, of course, the free throw line, 13 to 22, 59% from the free throw line. Not going to win many games that way. But it wouldn't have mattered.
Wasn't the difference.
I bet say, even if they made all their free throws, it wouldn't have made a difference. It wouldn't have been close. I mean, but just Tennessee was just that much better of a team. But just far and away, they might be the best team in the country.
Yeah.
And
Tennessee shot 90% at the free throw line. 9-0.
Yeah.
89.7 for you out there that are exactamundos.
And shot it 39 times. I mean, that's 35 points alone on free throws.
35 of 39. And you wonder why they're getting ready to be the number one team in the country when the next poll comes out? If they're not, they should be.
Well, here,
I guess Michigan's another team that's up there, but they're either going to be one or two.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, they're going to be one or the other, but they would have my vote for sure. And here's another crazy stat for you. Tennessee was up 55-34 at halftime. Admiral Schofield didn't even score in the first half. Their best player didn't even score in the first half, and they were up by 20 points.
Well, I mean,
21 points.
It was like 8-5 right out of the gate, and then it went like 13-5, and then it was like, 20-5? And then you knew it was over. I mean, you could watch the rest of the game, but you saw all you needed to see by, like, the second commercial break.
In fact, I kind of just started having it play in the background. I did.
Yeah, know. I mean, if you're tuned in here this morning wanting some, like, X and O analysis of the second half, I'm going to have to tap out. I'm checking out on that.
Yeah.
I can't help you.
And from the responses on social media, it seemed like a lot of you were that way, but you know, it's really one of those difficult things to discuss because, you know, Arkansas had no chance in this game going in. I mean, Tennessee is just that much better of a team. But it is a painful reminder, in my opinion, to know that there's a team like Tennessee, a coach like Rick Barnes, who's in his fourth season, who's was really down just, what was it, 2 years ago, they didn't even go over 500, or 3 seasons ago, didn't even go over 500. They were picked dead last year in the SEC, and then they've really brought and elevated their game. And when you see what they're doing, if you're a Razorback basketball fan, it's got to make you jealous. It's got to make you just scratch your head and say, man, if Tennessee's able to do that in 4 years under Rick Barnes without having a top 10 recruiting class each year that Rick Barnes has been there, how have we not been able to do that? I mean, I'm sure a lot of, and it's not just for Tennessee. If you think about it with Auburn, think about it with Mississippi State. There's a lot of teams in the SEC that you just look at and you're like, wait, we're Arkansas. We're supposed to be that. We're supposed to be that team that makes it and cracks into the top 10, top 15 fairly often. But you're not. And it's like almost like a sense of jealousy, sense of envy.
Yeah.
And it just shows how far away you are from being one of those teams when Tennessee's doing what they're doing right now. And then you're sitting back just wondering, when's the next time you're going to make the NCAA tournament? Because it ain't happening this year.
Doesn't appear. I mean, it would basically, the only way you see at this point, other than some kind of like miraculous turnaround from this, you know, 1-3 start in league play, would be to win the conference tournament. And that would mean you're going to beat out in Nashville, Tennessee in their home state, Kentucky, and it's like their home state.
Might as well be.
At least that weekend, for the weekend. By the way, Auburn.
Mississippi State.
One of those teams is going to be hot, and they're more talented. Mm-hmm. And that, you wonder why last night happened? It's because they have a bunch of experienced players that are in their third and fourth years, and Arkansas, and I'm not making the excuse, well, they're so young. They're young. I mean, that the other team was better. Their X's were better than your O's because they've had a lot of stability, a lot of players stick around. They play well together, and that's why they're number three in the country.
Yeah. And it's...
and it's rare to see in college basketball a team made up of juniors and seniors.
One that's this good, especially. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's such a rarity. You think that you have to have it the way that Duke and Coach K or John Calipari at Kentucky or whoever, where you just go out and you get...
well,
two or three one and dones, and that's what elevates your game.
The problem is trying to keep all of these players together where one guy does, you know, we're like an Admiral Schofield,
mm-hmm.
who had a decision to make at the end, doesn't leave and chase the dream of the NBA immediately, you know. So, I mean, it's not always in the coach's hands, I guess is what I'm saying.
No. That's like Tommy having to make sure we don't take any national syndicated radio jobs, John.
Yeah.
He's the same situation.
I barely get any sleep at night worried about it.
Yeah, I know. That's why he didn't get any sleep last night.
Right.
He's really
bags
concerned.
Under my eyes, just constant worry and stress.
Keeps
I'm on anxiety pills just to get through the day.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's the thing, is just watching it last night. And I want to just say, first off, that you got to give credit to Tennessee. I mean, they're just a better team.
No,
it's not like I watched last night and
that's what I'm saying. That's why they're a better team. They're all third and fourth year players for the most part.
Exactly. And like the people that were just fired up and upset, hey, I get it. I think you're just frustrated in general, but I'm looking back, I was like, man, what did you expect?
Well,
I mean, I know that Arkansas didn't play the best game of all time,
but
I mean, Daniel Gafford only got 6 shots. Stuff like that's just strange.
And that's the thing that just drives you nuts, because anyone in here not believe... anyone out there listening this morning not believe Arkansas is still one of the third or fourth? I'm not going to say it's the best basketball program in the league. I think we all would say that belongs to Kentucky. We're talking program, not season this year, but just over. Arkansas is still the top three or four program in this league.
Without a doubt.
No one disagreeing with that, all
right? Without a doubt.
Who's above them? If you're going to say that, who's above them?
It's Kentucky.
It's Kentucky,
for sure.
And I'd say Kentucky and Florida.
Yeah, just as overall programs.
See, Florida's interesting because, like, one of the reasons it was led to believe Billy Donovan left is because they wouldn't invest in the basketball program. Like, the O'Connell Center's old. Like, in terms of success, you got the two national championships, mm-hmm. couple Final Fours. Like, Florida has more recent success at Arkansas, but if you look at the overall aspect of the facilities, the history behind it. I would almost say that Arkansas is better, but at this point, like, there's just no recent success that you can argue right. that Arkansas is better than Florida.
And you may say Arkansas is I don't know. I'm just saying they're I don't think anyone would argue Arkansas is not a top five program. Well, let's just broaden it out in this league.
Yeah.
But you're not getting, and then you say, well, you bring up the stats about the last two or three years and the most wins, but that doesn't make a damn. You don't give one damn about the regular season in this sport. It's all about postseason. And when it comes to postseason performance, you're bottom four. And that's the thing that frustrates you. Because the only thing that matters in this game is, how'd you do in March? How'd you do in the tournament? Did you make the tournament? How far did you go in the tournament? And yeah, it's wonderful you've made it three of the last 4 years. Let's put that again on the front page of the media guide. Three of the last four, wonderful. You know, but when it comes to tournament performances, Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, I mean, no one is down here pounding their fist on the table that you got to make a Final Four in the next 3 years or you need, you know.
No.
No one's, I just don't think the expectations are unrealistic, and that's the problem is you've got a program that's performing more often than not. Well enough to get to the tournament, but then you just run out of gas or you run into a buzzsaw or whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a myriad of different circumstances as to why you haven't gotten there, but that's the frustrating thing. And now you're looking up, you're 10-6 after some hope and promise in December that this could be a team that maybe could get to near 20 wins and scare the tournament. And now it doesn't seem like it. I mean, here we are, went from 10-3 or whatever to 10-6 in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Now 30-1 on Caesars Palace to win the NIT.
Yeah.
Not even in consideration for
they actually do that?
Yeah.
And they do it now.
God almighty.
Yeah. So place your bets, folks. If you want that.
And then you look around the league and say, well, how did all this happen? Kraft, you're right, but how did all this happen? Well, you went from having this league has elevated its level of coaching. Where is Mike Anderson's place in this league now when you look down the roster of coaches? I believe at one time he was in that top four. I don't think you can say that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Mike has regressed as a coach. I just think the competition around him has gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw another example of it last night with Rick Barnes.
Well, and then just to kind of, we can close on this point and kind of piggyback off what you were saying. Imagine if Dave Van Horn every single year in baseball had one of the best record or one of the best records in the SEC every year. Every year. Did really well in the SEC tournament, too. Did every year. But once he got to the regionals, they lost every time. People get tired of it.
Yeah. Well,
and no matter what, even if it's somebody that's, it's like you can have the best regular season, but it's all about what you do in the postseason. And if you don't have anything to show,
only thing we got here is a broken record that keeps playing over and over and over and over.
Yep, yep. Wash, rinse, repeat every single time.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Robbie is in Jacksonville, Florida. What's going on, Robbie?
John and Tommy, what's going on, brother?
Hey, good morning, my man.
Hey, man, we talked a couple weeks ago when I was laid up on the couch listening to you guys every day. I'm back at work now, so I can't really do that. But I know we were chatting with some folks on Twitter last night. Here's the deal. With the SEC being so strong, this start was an eventuality, one. Two, I don't see the run in February where we're going to go sweep in and win 4 of 6. The league with having 5 Final Four coaches, the improvement of the non-conference scheduling, the improvement of the recruiting overall in the conference. I mean, right now, it's the have and have nots, and we are the have not. And that's unfortunate because I think basketball is probably one of the primary reasons why Arkansas even joined the SEC. And now we're sitting there and we're going to be a doormat. And, you know, last night you saw a clear difference between a coach that was flat out prepared, who got it done, understands players, and a coach that's trying to invigorate a bunch of freshmen. And you know, we're not Duke. We're not Virginia. I mean, I get it. But the bottom line is that it seems like at times we have such a lack of chemistry on the floor, and we have a lack of direction where you have guys like Daniel Gafford. That are, he's a max effort guy. He's doing the best he can. But Lord help us. He needs some help. And it all starts with recruiting. And if you look at the recruiting rankings over the last 5 years, I mean, we are a pedestrian at best. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. I mean, we're signing, what, one guy, maybe get another one because of the transfer.
Right.
And, you know, it just doesn't seem like any help is in sight. Just want to get your thoughts, and I'll hang on and listen to you guys.
All right. Well, appreciate the phone call, Robbie. Yeah, that's the thing is where, listen, there's a lot of criticisms that people can have for Mike Anderson and what he's been able to do. And when you brought up the points of the direction and the light at the end of the tunnel, and you mentioned the recruiting, that to me, I think, is my biggest concern about Mike, is because I've been a big Mike supporter. I felt like Mike was, when he was hired, it was a big time hire. I think he did some really good things, especially once he got the team going, because I believe it was in, I guess, year five, when they made it to the NCAA tournament with Bobby Portis and Michael Qualls. When it got to that point, I honestly felt like, okay, this is going to be the new standard. He built up, he went through the struggles, he got Pelfrey's players out, he got his players in, and he felt like that Qualls and Portis team was going to be the new standard, where it wasn't a Final Four team, but it was a team that was going to win anywhere between 23 to 28 games every season.
But they gave you a chance to athletically compete. You know, and they kind of set a new standard, got Mike's guys in here,
exactly,
his system in here. And I think this team's athletic, but the problem is you got like LSU. They were just bigger and more athletic than Arkansas.
Yes. You got guys that, you got Daniel Gafford, but once Daniel Gafford comes out, you got some good players. But I'm talking about when you're going down low.
Arkansas's not as deep as a lot of as nearly all of these other teams that are going to be tournament teams.
I mean, you're talking about players that are coming off the bench like Desi Sills and Embry Simpson. I mean, these guys are not bona fide quality SEC players, at least not yet. They may be after some development, but. And then you have Gabe O coming in, Gabe O Saboyan. You know, he can offer some hustle plays. He's the type of player that you want to have coming off the bench, but you need more than just that. You just don't have enough. You don't have enough horses.
I think Robbie's off in his Final Four assessment of coaches. I counted three.
At Calipari, Frank Martin, Ben Howland.
Those are the only three that I counted.
Are you talking about coaches that have been to the Final Four?
Yeah,
Tom Crean. He went to the Final Four with Marquette.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, that's four.
Yeah.
When did they get into the Final Four?
With Dwayne Wade.
Like 08?
02?
No, it was way early 2000s.
No, it's like Wade got drafted in 03, so that would have been like 02.
Yeah, so he went to the Final Four. It's been a long time.
It's like four. Is there one we're missing?
I'm sure there is, because you mentioned, because who did you say? It was Frank Martin, John Calipari,
Howland, and then you said Tom Crean.
And then Tom Crean gets added to it.
Did Bruce Pearl take?
No, he went to the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight
was the best he went to. I mean, there may be a coach that we're just completely missed. Rick Barnes went to the Final Four, guys. Texas. There's another one.
When did Man, that's a while ago.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, some of these coaches like Rick Barnes and them, it has been a good while.
Yeah.
So, but the point is proven, though, as far as what Robbie was bringing in. And that's the thing that, Tommy, I know you were bringing up and that we were discussing, that you're just afraid that the rest of the SEC and the coaches that they have are elevating themselves, and you don't want to be left behind if you're Mike Anderson and the Razorbacks.
And the point is, you're getting a roster of coaches that have the experience at the Final Four level, have that ring, have that on their resume to walk in and help recruit. More importantly, they have the resume of developing NBA picks, draft picks. And I think that's the biggest Achilles heel right now for Mike and his recruiting. And recruiting's everything, right? That's the only way out. It's the only way to solve any problem in any sport. Recruit better. Get better players. And you got to have a track record that can show we can help your dreams come true. Because that's all these guys want. I don't care if you're Chad Morris, Mike Anderson, Dave Van Horn, or any coach. That's all these guys want, is to get drafted and to make a bunch of money and to play at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's resume's a little light there.
Mm-hmm. And think about Arkansas's best players. And they've had under Mike Anderson. What do they all had in common? Think about it. What do they all had in common? They all wanted to be Razorbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Portis, it didn't matter who the coach was. It didn't matter what. He wanted to be a Razorback. But Daniel Gafford, same thing.
But the problem
Darryl
Mike's Macon, got
Dusty Hannes, all these guys.
Mike's problems are recruiting.
Yeah.
I mean, he's below 500 on Arkansas kids going into SEC schools. He loses more than he gets. And just go through the list. I mean, you just look at kids going to Kentucky.
Yep. So lost kids to Florida, lost kid to Vanderbilt.
Two to Kentucky.
Missouri, even. I don't know if he actually offered Mitchell Smith, but still. Went to Missouri. Went to an SEC school.
And I know you can't offer everybody in every year.
And you can't get everybody. But that's not
all. And you can't get everybody. But it's a below 500 record on in-state. I'm just talking in-state kids.
And imagine what your team, your program would look like.
And that's the frustration. I think that's the frustration I share with a lot of Razorback fans out there. Is if you just get the kids in this state. Me and Nick have went back and forth on this time and time again, but there's no way. You get the kids in the state, it elevates the program over the last 5 years.
Yeah. It makes the difference.
And we're not talking about a Sweet 16 drought that goes back to 96. The problem is, right now, I mean, and because of all of these factors, Mike has went from... And the money that's been infused into basketball programs in this league, Mike's went from being clearly one of the top three or four coaches in the league 3 or 4 years ago to he's somewhere in the middle of the pack. I mean, you'd have to clearly say that Calipari, Rick Barnes, Frank Martin, Bruce Pearl.
Ben Howland.
Are all coaches that are...
I mean, they've proven that.
That have proven more and more accomplished right now.
And Tommy, you're talking about recruiting. Isaac McBride, number one recruit in this 2019 class. He's going to Kansas. Devontae Davis is going to Oklahoma State in 2020, it looks like. So he's missing the top recruit in the 2019 class and the 2020 class out of Arkansas.
And that's what I'm saying, is that there's just no... There's no players you can... There's not a Bobby Portis coming there like, hey, just wait till he gets on campus. There's not a Daniel Gaffney. Nope. There's none of that. And that's what makes it really worrisome. And there's time to do it, I get it. But that's what makes it worrisome for fans, is because they can't point to something and say, well, it sucks right now, but let's see what happens when these guys come in or this recruiting class. There's just not that right now.
Nope.
And it makes it extremely scary for Razorback basketball.
But then you look around the league, like I said, you got Frank Martin, you got John Calipari, you got Rick Barnes, you got Ben Howland, you got Bruce Pearl. And then he mentioned, you know, like guys like Avery Johnson, who's, I don't know, coached in the NBA.
Finals in 06.
And set the world on fire at Alabama, but he's elevated their program from where it once was. You know, Quanzo Martin, he went to an Elite Eight.
Yeah, that was back at Tennessee. Yeah.
I thought it was a Sweet 16, but I know maybe it wasn't. Anyways, he was a good kid. He had one good year there, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just look at the list of the rest of the coaches in the league, like Tom Crean. You know, you look at the list of, you know, Bryce Drew. You look at Will Wade. You look at Mike White down at Florida. How many of these coaches that are left on that roster after you get past those five names I mentioned? One, two, three, four, five names with the Barnes and the Calipari's and the Frank Martins. Okay, so we'd agree Mike's no longer in the top five in this league, so he's somewhere between six and what? How many coaches is Mike clearly, hey, Mike Anderson, you wouldn't trade for this guy?
I mean, the five that you mentioned, unproven, right there.
I mean, well, those are five you'd trade for in heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many are out there that you, no, I'll keep Mike over these guys in the league?
I mean, probably about five or six, four or five as well. I mean, Mike
maybe
is...
Bryce Drew, maybe a Will Wade, some of these unproven guys.
Yeah. It was just Sweet 16 for concept from whatever reason. Yeah. I thought it was Elite Eight, 2014 season.
But
so, I mean, point is, Mike is, because the league has elevated... And because Mike has not advanced things at Arkansas, he's somewhere between like 6 and 10 in this league right now. He's in the middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm. Which again,
that's not exciting to parents and recruits.
Which, again, is the scariest thing you can have as a Razorback fan of being left behind.
There's just no way around that.
No.
And then you say, well, who? Okay, damn it, you want to fire him? I didn't say that. Well, who are you going to get? Well, you think... Outside of those top three or four, you could hire any of these guys on that list. And a lot of these guys privately would probably tell you they'd come to Arkansas in a heartbeat because of tradition, facilities, 19,000 seats in your arena, a state that really is passionate about I mean, Arkansas has a lot going for itself when it comes to its basketball program. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah. Because I'm telling you right now.
How many more years of just the same wash, rinse, repeat?
Fans are getting...
And it wears off.
Fans are getting tired
of it. Fans are... And it's dangerous to have this kind of conversation following a 106-87 loss to put you 1-3 in league play. But that's where... I mean, it's just... It's frustrating.
Because then things will happen. They'll get on a win streak. They'll get on a hot streak. They'll start winning some games.
And that's what Mike always strong. Does.
And we know that's going to happen. That's inevitably going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to start getting it going at some point in time.
I mean...
It happens every year this way. And it comes down to right now, if we had to bet money on if this is an NCAA tournament team, we're all saying no. This is not an NCAA tournament team. Now, things can happen. Again, we've seen crazy things happen where they've just fallen backwards into the NCAA tournament. We've seen it. But if he doesn't get it this year, if he doesn't go to the NCAA tournament this year, he's not going to go to it next year unless he just has some big-time recruit hidden in his back pocket that he's going to sign. And then after that, he probably won't go to it again next year. And it's just, okay, do you want to deal with this every single year?
I just don't want people to think there's no other option.
I don't think Razorback fans should ever feel that way about any sport.
Right.
Any sport that you struggle in, don't ever feel like...
I just think there's a lot of good coaches
that's
out there that would, you know, this program is still a quality program, well-respected. And a lot of these guys in the right time, maybe not where they're at now. You think Frank Martin wouldn't have come from Kansas State to Arkansas?
You think Ben Allen wouldn't come to Fayetteville rather than Starkville?
Rick Barnes, living in the shadow of the Texas football program, wouldn't have, back when they hired like Pelfrey, or maybe even when they hired Mike.
I'm with you, man. Not to convince me.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Lil John is in Danville. What's going on, Lil John?
Hey, good morning. A couple of quick comments. The comment was made about getting Arkansas kids. If you can start there, go back longer than just Coach Anderson's tenure, but even for the last 30 years, we looked at some of the successful teams. There was a pretty good Arkansas connection on those teams. And I've been a Razorback basketball fan since mid-70s. And back in the heyday with Coach Sutton, there's three things that probably – still cause a team to be successful, and we just don't do those. And that's, play solid half-court defense and then be able to run something in a half-court offensive set. And I think most important, get to the free throw line more than your opponent. And go back and look, we just don't do that.
Nope.
And it's not so much making your free throws, but we don't get to the line as much as our opponent. I am listening.
I appreciate the phone call, Lil John. Yeah, as far as, you brought up the in-state kids, and I think something that I want to mention in piggybacking off of that is not only just in-state kids, but I think Arkansas and one of their biggest problems is losing their pipeline to Memphis.
Yep.
Because
that's a great point.
They used to have, under Nolan Richardson especially, it seemed like they had three or four players every year on the squad from Memphis.
Ever heard of a guy named Todd Day?
He wasn't bad, from what I hear. Yeah, he wasn't bad. And you had guys, but if you look at it now, I mean, the only guys you've had from Memphis over the past, 10 years has been Mardrakus Wade and Anthlon Bell. And Anthlon Bell's from Bartlett, so you can't even say that's Memphis.
Well,
but you've lost that pipeline where...
Good luck getting it back.
Well, I know now.
Penny's locked down.
I mean,
well,
good luck.
And that's what I'm saying. That was a huge problem for Arkansas, is where they were recruiting at their best and they were getting some of their best players. It wasn't just in-state guys. I mean, you had in-state guys. But it was going and having that pipeline set up through Memphis, where even, a guy like Corey Beck, too, you just had guys that were able to play on this team, that were able to bring a new element and had a little chippiness to them
and
were really talented. Yeah, they were tough and talented guys.
But
you don't have that.
But that style, I mean, everybody yearns for that. That style, you can't play that style of ball anymore.
That's debatable because Press Virginia does it. And Huggy, I know they're not having a great season this year, but Huggy Bear... I mean, they've gotten to a Final Four, Elite Eight.
Arkansas has not – I mean, it's very difficult with the rules of the game, the way they've changed.
Yeah.
And
I
got a memo from the NCAA yesterday about potential major rule changes coming. We'll talk about that later. I mean, some pretty significant changes to the game that are on the horizon potentially.
It pays off to have an official on the show too, because we get the scoops
out there. But there's
some sources.
You know, this is some stuff that will change the way we watch and change. But the rules with freedom of movement, just this idea that you're going to trap people and get right up on them and get. You're not going to do it anymore.
Can't do it.
You cannot.
Well, because how I put it too, specifically with Mike Anderson, when his system is working, when the flow of the game is working, there's nothing sexier and more beautiful than watching that style of play. Because if you're a fan in that stand, I mean, it gets you pumped. When they go on a run.
When defense creates offense, it is a beautiful thing.
It sends chills down your body because it gets you so pumped up. But when it's not working, it is hideous.
It is very ugly. To your point about what Bob Huggins is doing, you can do it, but you got to be very disciplined because you can't play with your hands. You got to play defense with your feet,
and you have to adjust.
You can't invade the opponent's cylinder space by rule, and it's hard to play full court defense the way. And I go back to the way it was 25 years ago. When Nolan's style of ball in 40 minutes of hell, that's what it was about. Trap him in the backcourt, get him in the corner, take the ball away from him. That stuff just
doesn't fly.
Freedom of movement, they want to provide the shooter looks because they want offense. Because they don't want any more games in the Final Four going 59-58 or whatever it was a few years ago when Butler was in one of them. They had a low scoring. Was killing the game.
Yeah, they want offense. They want points scored.
They
want points scored because that's what they feel like drives the excitement and drives the ratings.
What you, the fan, want?
Yes,
you, the fan, wants 70-something to 80-something, 80-something to 70-something, or 85-83. That's what you want.
Yeah,
maybe. And I get it.
Yeah, because
you want more offense.
That's what makes it entertaining.
So, and the way they're going about that is, you just can't play defense like you used to. So
you adjust.
This old style of getting tough, hard-nosed Memphis players that were going to come in here and put the Corey Beck kind of defense on them.
You can't do it.
Mm-mm.
In fact, I think they would adjust, but even say if that 93-94 team played in today's day, just you picked them up and set them right in and said, all right, go after it. They probably wouldn't be able to play. I mean, they wouldn't know what to do.
No, yeah, like you said, they would have to adjust.
Yeah, but see, and that's what it comes down to is adjusting. And it's not just going season by season. You know this, Tom, because you're an official. Games get called differently game to game by officials. Sometimes
it just happens.
There's some officiating crews that will let things slide a little more, and there's other ones that'll call it more straight, more strict.
There's also games where the ball's going in the hole.
But that's not my point. My point is that you have to adjust as a team to the flow of the game.
Also, teams shoot the ball at about 50 or 60% that help.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that as a team, though, when you go in there and you can understand how games are going to be called, if it's going to be called, you have to adjust.
You have to
adjust to that.
The whole directive right now from the NCAA is to try to get it West Coast, Midwest, North, South, ACC, Big East, SEC, doesn't matter, where it all looks the same. So when you get to the NCAA tournament, it's all the same. So, but it's a process.
But you have to adjust.
And
you have to adapt.
Totally agree.
And
you're right. It is a little bit different. But I'll tell you what, it's not as different as when you used to watch it 10 years ago, and it was one way out in the Pac-8 or 10 or whatever they were then, and now it's the Pac-12, versus what you saw in the Big East where there was just they were stopping the game to mop the blood up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which, some of us like that type of basketball, but that's not the way it is anymore.
Disparity between the Big East and
completely different.
It would be called, and the game would the game itself would be totally different based on a league or based on a geographic region.
No blood, no foul.
College basketball is nowhere near that today.
Yeah. And so
it is a much more standardized sport.
And it goes back to my whole point about Mike Anderson in this system, that when it's working, it's beautiful. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to watch. You as Razorback fans, when you can go to Bud Walton Arena and you see your team go on a 12-0 run with great defense and some threes and some dunks, it's just gorgeous. But when it's bad, when it's not working, when the other team is dictating the style and the flow of the game and you're not, it becomes just an ugly mess, which also works into the frustration that fans have, because when they'll be sitting back, like watching Tennessee in that game last night, or watching when Florida just a week ago and how horrible that game was, people watch it and they're just like, what is this crap? Where's the adjustments? Where's the coaching? Where's all of that? But when things are going good, you know, you don't think about those things. So it's just a matter of the game itself, the perspective of itself. And like you said, Tommy, too, it's amazing how much better a team will look if they're shooting well. If they're making baskets.
Do you think Arkansas fans are so accustomed to the style of play that they still want to hire a coach or keep Mike Anderson based on what Nolan ran and had? Because I got an argument with my buddy a while back. I was like, imagine Tony Bennett at Arkansas. He's like, well, fans wouldn't watch that. I was like, all they do is win.
No,
well, and they play a slow, methodical, defensive style of basketball, but they win basketball games consistently. Mm. Do you think Arkansas fans are so accustomed, they're so enthralled with this style of play that they want to keep it, or they want to coach like it?
I think there's an element to that. I think people want an exciting – I mean, because here's the thing. You could probably – like, say if it was – making in football. If there was a team that was running the wing tee that was winning a lot of regular season games – but the hurry-up, no-huddle thing is a lot more fun to watch. People would probably prefer
point,
that.
To your point, if Georgia Tech in recent years had been successful in football.
Triple option. I mean, it's just not exciting
they were,
to watch.
Just imagine if they were.
Yeah.
They would be more exciting if they were winning 10 or 11, 12 ball games a year.
Yeah, because winning's exciting.
Winning is exciting.
No matter how it's done.
Free beer, free hot dogs, free T-shirts. Don't top winning.
Yeah. And in fact, because if you
winning is the best promotion,
and I see what you're saying, Ty, as far as the styles and all of that, because I think that there would be an element that people, but it's like, would you rather win having a slow Virginia style, or would you rather win with a Nolan Richardson up tempo style? People would go with the Nolan Richardson up tempo style. It's more great, but if you're winning, none of that matters. Arkansas just wants to win.
Remember when Arkansas would have to play Princeton once in the NCAA tournament, and they played like this really slow
four corners basketball.
UCLA backdoor
clock.
Yeah, it was
backdoor.
It was gross.
Yeah,
but you know, again, winning's winning. People want to win.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast. Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on HitThatLine.com.